This is Patrick Hart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Viva Guadalupe. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Young Catholics Respond here on Patchwork Heart Radio. I am so blessed today to be talking about one of the more controversial issues of Catholic social teaching, and that is the death penalty. Today, joining me to have this conversation is the Director of Communications for the Catholic Mobilizing Network, Alexandra Carroll. She's a Director of Communications, and she came to the Catholic Mobilizing Network after receiving her master's in theological studies with a special focus in theological ethics and human rights from Boston College. While living and studying in Boston, Alexandra became a weekly volunteer with the Catholic Prison Ministry at the Suffolk County Corrections House. Her encounters with the women and men she met there while volunteering is what inspired Alexandra to get involved with work to end the death penalty. Alexandra is delighted with the opportunity to use her theological education and creative writing skills to further the mission of the CMN. So, Alexandra, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for joining me here on today's episode of Young Catholics Respond.
Great. Thank you for having me.
All right. So, as I mentioned kind of in the open, the death penalty is not, you know, something that gets a whole lot of publicity out there. Doing my best to change that for sure. But talk to me a little bit about why this is an important issue for Catholics to have a handle on and understand the dignity of human beings that are incarcerated, and why the death penalty should not be an option.
Sure. So Catholic Mobilizing Network, we, as a national organization, we work with the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops to try to kind of live out their campaign to end capital punishment. And at the heart of that is really kind of our understanding as Catholics that the dignity of the human person is inherent and inalienable and is kind of the foundation of a lot of our faith. You know, the human being is made in the image and likeness of God, and each person having this dignity and this right to life. You know, we really kind of see it as this consistent ethic is kind of how, you know, we talk a lot about our pro-life movement, and that's really kind of what we as an organization are trying to help live out, is this kind of consistent from, you know, conception to natural death. And the death penalty is most certainly not a natural death, and just recognizing that these men and women, while have made mistakes and have committed grave harms, that we are a people of reconciliation and of healing and of mercy. And that is what we need to perpetuate throughout society.
What are those, you know, preconceived notions that people have out there in society that make them not even think about this issue? Or when they do think about it, just say, okay, I'm okay with it, you know, this, because these people are just evil?
People come to the death penalty with a lot of different experiences and a lot of different kind of convictions, and, you know, and a lot of those are from personal experience or from things they've witnessed, and, you know, everyone comes at it from a different place. And it's just about being open and being merciful and kind of, you know, walking that path towards discipleship, which is not an easy one, but is one we're all challenged to walk on. And, you know, a lot of times we hear issues with, you know, we make sure society is safe, and, you know, we can't have these dangerous folks kind of able to be out and among us. And that's something, you know, again, the church is very much aware, and the catechism will even state, you know, society's safety is the utmost priority. However, you know, as a modern society, we have every mean available and every ability to keep our society safe with something like life in prison without parole or any other, you know, our prisons themselves do a great job at keeping society safe. And many of the nation's top criminologists will agree that the death penalty does not make society safer. It is not a deterrent, and that many states where the death penalty has been abolished, the murder rate has fallen significantly. So in fact, you know, having the death penalty is not going to be something that lowers crime rate or lowers kind of the murder rate or anything like that, and it only really redirects vital resources away from helping society, from kind of restoring society and criminals, and helping kind of poverty. And really, you know, that's kind of what the hardest of it at is, again, another issue we talk about a lot is cost. The death penalty is an exorbitantly much more expensive than a lot of other criminal proceedings. So,
sure, absolutely, and why, you know, even with that, maybe cost, you know, because people don't maybe understand the cost of all these, you know, legal fees that are through the roof, right? I mean, it's a lot of the legal fees and how many different challenges that that person can take, you know, how many different appeals that person takes to all the way up to the Supreme Court often, right?
I mean, death penalty appeals can go on for years, and they often do, and they often should. You know,
right.
We're talking about life or death here, so we don't want to, you know, shortcut the process or anything like that. So it does end up costing up to 10 times more.
And still, we are not 100% perfect, right? How many people have been, and I'll let you maybe quote some of the statistics about how many people have been exonerated from death row since the death penalty has been reinstated in 1976. There's been a considerable number of people who have been exonerated, and maybe we've executed innocent people.
The statistic you'll often hear and that we track is since 1973, 159 people have been exonerated. And the way that kind of looks at it is since it was reinstated in 1976, for every 9 people who have been executed, 1 person has been exonerated, which is kind of a scary statistic. You know, a 2014 study has said that at least 4% of those sentenced to death in the U.S. are innocent. And this is really, you know, I think this is a linchpin for the Catholic faith, right? You know, we talk about innocent life is the epitome of important, and this is kind of how, you know, the most valued and all life is valued, but it's the innocent life that is deprived of dignity. That is kind of this big travesty, and that's something the death penalty, and it's a lot of reasons that, right, that fuel kind of allowing these innocent people to be kind of trapped in this system, poverty or mental illness and inability to get proper legal care, so many things kind of contribute to it. And it's really why, with a decision that is so final, you know, death is a death sentence is just so final and there's no going back. It's so scary that, you know, we're not always 100% sure and we're not perfect and human beings are flawed and we all are. And there's just no way to be sure a lot of the time. Sometimes, you know, you are, and that's kind of the helpful thing about DNA evidence, but even DNA evidence so often is not able to be introduced or is, you know, that's what ends up exonerating these folks is, you know, after spending 20 years on death row, they are finally able to get their DNA evidence introduced and that appeal is what gets them out. And it's just a very scary business of life or death that, you know, a lot of the time is incorrect.
Right. And you mentioned something in there a little bit about the preferential option for the poor as well. You talked a little bit about who are we executing. There is something that is saying we're not even being fair about the way we distribute justice with the death penalty, right?
Sure, yes. Definitely. There's a saying that those without the capital always get, you know, those without the capital get the punishment. So it's always, you see, you know, the majority of people on death row came from living in situations of extreme poverty. They often experience childhood abuse or other kind of serious issues. And we often like to talk about it as the death penalty really kind of helps to shine a light on the microcosm of the rest of society. You know, there's a lot of issues with race and people of color, and there's a lot of issues with poverty and living conditions and resources. You know, you look at these people who didn't have a chance to receive a proper education or didn't have a chance to get their intellectual disability diagnosed and properly introduced into court. And, you know, just it's a whole host of issues, which is, it's really hard and it's really sad because it's, you know, we are called to have this preferential option. And so often because these individuals grew up in an environment that, you know, their surroundings and forced them to commit grave harm and for whatever reason, they were not given the proper resources to kind of have other options, I think, a lot of times. And so, you know, we come to it so late and we come to this realization so late when they're about to be put to death that, oh, wait, you know, all these other things are going on in their lives. So it's a big issue that is people don't often want to think about. But when digging deeper into these death penalty cases, there's a lot of other things going on.
We have to take a break here in a minute. But before I do so, I want to just maybe ask you a little bit about, in your experience working with the prisoners and things you see as part of the correctional system, are all prisoners evil people? And people have an opportunity to change, right?
Sure. Well, and that's the beautiful thing. I was able to encounter these individuals through prayer. And it was just such a beautiful thing to see that, it was a space that they often didn't get in prison, in jail, and to be able to be safe and to be able to pray and to encounter God and to, a lot of times they would bring their hard times, their hard backgrounds, the things they've done to lift them up to God, and we would talk about it, and, I often say it was one of the few times in my life where I've actually felt like I experienced the Spirit and I've encountered God, and it was in these individuals have done great acts of harm, and they have hurt people, and they have done wrongs, and but they're still human beings, and they still, they know they made a mistake, and they know that, they hurt people, and, of course, there's so many, a range of cases, and a range of individuals, and a range of stories, and a range of crimes, but the men and women that I encountered, were really wanting to make amends and to heal and to turn their lives around. It's heartbreaking because society doesn't always give them that chance. Both just because of what happened, but also because of society's resources and society's openness to allowing people to change. But I really did, I saw conversion. I got to journey along with people as they walked that path of conversion and reconciliation. And it was quite a beautiful experience.
That's wonderful, everyone. We're talking with Alexandra Carroll. She is the Director of Communications for Catholic Mobilizing Network promoting to end the death penalty and promoting restorative justice. This is a wonderful conversation just about some of the issues surrounding the death penalty. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about what's maybe going on now with some of the death penalty issues. So we'll be right back on this episode of Young Catholics Respond here on Patchwork Heart Radio.
For nearly 500 years, the people of Mexico have taken advantage of a promise made by the Queen of Heaven. In the year 1531, Our Lady appeared to a humble Aztec Indian and revealed herself to be the mother of the one true God. Telling Saint Juan Diego that she desired a temple to be built in her honor, she promised that she would help all those who appealed to her motherly love and protection. To seal this promise, Our Blessed Mother left an image of herself that has been miraculously preserved and can be seen by all who visit the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. Our Lady is not a liar. For nearly five centuries, millions of people from throughout Mexico have made pilgrimages to the shrine, either seeking Our Lady's help or thanking her for a petition granted. Today, more than ever, she is ready to help you or any of her children who seek her assistance. To learn more about how you can visit this remarkable shrine and bring your own petitions to Our Blessed Mother, please visit vivaguadalupe.org.
This is Martha Fernandez-Sardina with your Love Minute, brought to you by rememberyouareloved.com. What's the big deal about love? The big deal about love is that we all need love, and we are more fulfilled than ever when we give love. So we must both get love and give love. We must get love from God first and foremost, because He teaches us how to love, because God is love. And then we must give love the way that God gives love. Now, this is very possible because we were created with the capacity to receive love and give love. It's also expected. That's why we have the commandment to love God with our whole being and our neighbor as ourself. It's logical. If we have the ability to love, why don't we exercise it? If we have the ability to receive love, why don't we open our hearts to receive it? So let's get love and give love. For more on love, find us at facebook.com/rememberyouareloved. And remember, you are loved.
Now back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this episode of Young Catholics Respond here on Patchwork Heart Radio. I am Bill Snyder, and today's guest is Alexandra Carroll. She is the Director of Communications for the Catholic Mobilizing Network to End the Death Penalty. And it's a true pleasure to be talking with her, as she has a wealth of knowledge and experience about the death penalty. Before I jump into the current state of things going on, I'd like to ask you, Alexander, just a little bit about victims' care, because we talk a lot about the offender. Obviously, you work primarily with the offender to, defend them, but we don't want to cut the victims out of the picture either, right? I mean, grave harm was committed by the offender, and now there is a victim of crime. And, how do you help respond to victims who are gravely harmed, murdered,
Sure. And that is of the utmost priority for us as an organization. And we are still very lucky to have the input and collaboration of a lot of murder victims' family members. As part of our organization, we have some who were very vital in our founding and are still good supporters and collaborators and folks we always turn to. And the big thing is, and we're so blessed to have these folks, is just that, every victim, every victim's family member is going to go through a different journey and a different experience. And, from the folks that we've been lucky enough to chat with and to work with, it really is just this long and complex death penalty trial process, appeal process that can go on for years and years. More than allowing people to heal and to, move on with their lives, it just forces them to relive the trauma and the pain and the horrible instances of harm that they experienced. And, we talked about cost earlier, and the cost of the death penalty process really takes away a lot of vital resources that could be redirected towards those victims, towards healing, towards support, towards, everything they need to move on. And as an organization, we really kind of look at it as, we're called to support, to lift up, to bear witness to these victims' families, to their experiences, and allow them to heal. But the death penalty doesn't do that. The death penalty is not a process that is aimed at looking to the needs of the victim's family. It often just looks to the needs of the state, to the needs of the law, but not often towards the needs of those individuals who were gravely affected by the harm. We are always looking with a perspective towards the victim's family, and we often look to the guidance of our collaborators who have experienced these instances and are just, awestruck by their courage and their great dedication to the issue. And that really is what also helps us to continue this work to end the death penalty.
Through ministry to helping victims' families and working with them, they find a lot of peace, I'm sure, in this process. But it's difficult. I mean, this is not something that is going to be an overnight, flip of a switch, right? I mean, there's probably a long process to helping somebody along this journey because it's such a painful and grave matter, right?
Oh yes, No, it's a long process, and it's not an easy one. And it's something that, because it's just such a serious thing that happened, serious crime that was committed, we should really be focused towards them. And that's, that's where we get into the restorative justice, at looking at, how can we restore the society, the community, those individuals who harmed. And a lot of times that's not with a 10-year-long appeal process and, millions of dollars. And that's usually not what is restorative for these folks.
Let's just switch a little bit here and talk about the current state of the death penalty in the United States. What are some of the big hot button things that are going on with this issue?
This has been an interesting year for the death penalty. We came off of 2016, which had the lowest number of executions and the lowest number of new death sentences in years. And public support for the death penalty, a 2016 Pew report, public support against the death penalty is the highest it's been in years. And, it's great. So we came off of 2016, which was this really great year. We went into 2017, and, as the rest of our society did, we experienced kind of this weird shift and this weird movement. And, things are a little bit more intense and a little bit more fragile. And, and we've seen a few really unfortunate and really scary things happen with the death penalty. We witnessed Arkansas in April, who, because of an impending expiration date of lethal injection drugs rushed to try to execute 8 men in 11 days. Beginning on Easter Monday, nonetheless, was, you know, an incredibly heartbreaking situation. And all because of lethal injection drugs. So it was, you know, it was never, not, you know, for nothing more simple than they were about to be out of their means to do so. And they, you know, we were lucky in that they only ended up being able to execute 4 men, but there were still 4 of those men that we lost. 4 of those men who, you know, each one had their own story. Each one was a very kind of painful situation to watch occur, as is every execution. And, you know, we're witnessing a lot of just, you know, difficult political situations going on with the death penalty. There's been a lot of talk of recent over about the use of midazolam. And Ohio in particular, you know, in January had ruled that midazolam was not sufficiently humane to be used in execution. And then just recently last month, that ruling was reversed, and now Ohio is set to resume executions for the first time in 3 years. And they have, you know, 27 executions, continuous executions scheduled for the next couple months. And, you know, so you see this kind of, all of a sudden, this kind of revamping of states using the death penalty. And, you know, and it seems a little bit intense and it seems grim, but as, you know, recent reports that just came out, recent mid-year reports, it's still going to be a near record low year, but it seems as though when the death penalty is implemented, it is just, it's intense and it's, you know, dramatic, and it's cases where it really should not be used, but yet, you know, states and governors are pushing as hard as they can to keep this, this tool of justice alive.
And you're watching prisoners suffer too. You're watching prisoners suffer on execution gurneys as well. I mean, these are well documented cases. You know, there's plenty of them out there. Watching prisoners just, you know, flop around on gurneys because these processes they're not being carefully looked at or carefully watched or whatever's going on, or people aren't following protocol. Don't you think that if we're executing somebody and we're taking their life, that it should be done with such care and precision that the state has no, I mean, but it's not that way. So do you have any comments on just, you know, how we're executing prisoners? I mean, this is,
yeah, well, and it's been getting you know, states are finding themselves in a pinch with that, and you're seeing the rise of more and more botched executions, and you know, maybe some would argue it's not necessarily a rise, but it's we're hearing about it more, but the ability to lethal injection has gotten a whole lot more difficult in the last 2 years. You know, in May of 2016, Pfizer, kind of the last remaining open market source of you know, 4 lethal injection drugs, kind of said they would no longer be selling their drugs to be used for this purpose. You know, you saw this come up in Arkansas, where one of the lawsuits that came up was a drug company saying, you know, we sold these drugs under different pretenses. And, you know, there's all these things where drug companies do not want, they don't want their drugs being used for this. You know, these drugs were created to help and to heal, not to end a life. And so, you know, states are getting riskier, and they're trying to find ways to get around these issues, getting around the difficulty that they have getting these drugs, the large expense of getting these drugs, and they're trying to come up with different ways that are often riskier and haven't been tested, and you know, they're pulling at straws to try to find ways to do this. You know, and you look at a state like lots of states throughout the country have for the very reason of the inability to get drugs to execute these men and women are just not executing people. So you have, you know, these individuals who will spend years and years and years waiting for a death sentence, and it'll never come because the states can't get the drugs to do it. So it's, you know, it's just a whole, it's just a huge issue, and it's just getting more and more complicated. And, you know, it's something that is just costing states more and more money to try to find ways to do this, to try to find new avenues. And you know, some states are even talking about, okay, well, do we bring back the firing squad as a way of execution? Do we bring back, you know, what how else can we do this if we can't get these lethal injection drugs? So It's a very complicated issue, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. And in the middle of it are human beings who, you know, as you pointed out, are being tested on, who are being given methods of execution that are not always humane as they're supposed to be. And, you know, I mean, as an organization, we often look to Pope Francis, who, you know, made that beautiful statement that there is no humane way to kill a human being. And that's kind of something that you have to ask yourself is, you know, this is in our Constitution. This is in our faith. This is kind of central to who we are as human beings. You know, how do we ensure that the humane aspect is present in these executions? And I don't think it is.
No, absolutely. And what are some ways that ordinary people listening to this, ordinary Catholics listening to this, young Catholics listening to this, can do something about it? What are some suggestions that you have for us?
Sure. So as an organization, we try, you know, we talk about educate, advocate, pray as kind of the three pillars of how we bring awareness to this issue and how we mobilize Catholics around this issue. And, you know, that's really what it is. Our website has a ton of resources that are available for free download to help you educate yourself, educate your community, educate your parish, your faith community, you know, your school. We have resources for all age groups, all liturgical seasons, all, you know, different types, whether it's a fact sheet or a workshop or, you know, kind of all different things to help educate. And that's a big one. You know, it really is. Catholics, if you look at the statistics, you know, we have a lot of presence in elected office. We have a huge presence in the country. And as voters, we have a huge impact to make. And that's really where, you know, the death penalty is a state issue. And it's something that each state handles differently. And each state is, you know, we talk about subsidiarity a lot as Catholics. And this is really an issue that we as voting individuals, and even those who can't vote, you know, being able to just educate your community and be a part of the discussion is huge. And that's where it is in bringing awareness to the issue and educating yourself and raising your voice. You know, each individual, we have a huge power of our voice, and whether that is calling your senator, writing your legislator, or just talking to the folks in your parish, in your school, in your friend group, and just normalizing these individuals as human beings and in praying on it, in holding a vigil, holding a prayer service. You know, it's just, I think the biggest thing we can do is to talk about this issue and talk about the fact that these are real human beings. And, you know, we've tried to create a lot of resources that help us to do that.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for all your time today. Do you have anything else you want to add about the death penalty? I know these interviews kind of seem so much shorter than you want them to be, you know, on these, you know, tough topics. But just, do you have anything else you'd like to add? And maybe also tell us a little bit about how they can get in touch with the Catholic Mobilizing Network.
Sure. You know, just I think I want to thank everybody for their, you know, for their time to listen and their time to their openness to learning about this issue, and encourage folks to visit our website, which is CatholicsMobilizing.org. And, you know, you can sign up for our advocacy network. You can download our resources. You can get in touch with either of us. But just, you know, there, you know, please have an open mind, and remember that, you know, we are called to lift up the life and dignity of the human person, and that's what this is about.
Awesome. Alexander, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Hope to get to talk with you again as issues may arise here with the death penalty. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
All right, well, this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond on Patchwork Heart Radio. Until next time, I'm Bill Snyder. Thank you so much for listening, and keep beating to your Catholic heart.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For more information about this program or Patchwork Heart Ministry, visit patchworkheart.org. That's patchworkheart.org. Or email info@patchworkheart.org.